I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
This week on the show, we talked about Helen Duncan.
Yes, indeed.
Which is somebody I had found when intentionally trying to find some October-y seeming topics. And what I had written in my little list of topics was just something like Helen Duncan, Witchcraft Act 1735. Like, in some way that, like, noted that she was, based on what I had seen at that point, the last person tried into that. I would have imagined that it was a good 100 years earlier than the story we wound up talking about.
Nope.
Nope, not at all. I went down the weirdest rabbit hole.
The best kind.
So almost across the board, every single thing I read about Helen Duncan said with absolute authoritative confidence that Germany didn't know that the Barham had been sunk. Just 100, like, just so clearly, like, and Germany didn't know. And I was like, that seems maybe a little unlikely. Because at this point, when a submarine fired torpedoes at a ship, that, like, they might not know whether they had hit it or not. It would there's just a lot of noise associated with the torpedoes. And so they would sort of try to be listening for the particular sounds that would come from, like, a collapsing bulkhead on the ship or something like that. And it's not always clear. So wouldn't necessarily know for sure. But this explosion of the ship was so enormous and so dramatic and so soon after the torpedoes happened, I was just like, it seems like they would have at least suspected that probably they hit something. And so I just was like, am I missing something here? It just seems really likely to me that the crew on the submarine would have thought they would have, number one, known they fired at a convoy.
Right.
They would have probably at least thought that they hit something, and then they would have reported back in. So, like, this absolute 100% confidence that the Germans didn't know, I was like, really? And so I went upstairs to where my spouse was doing stuff on his computer. And I was like, how much do you know about World War II submarine warfare? And his face lit up. And he was like, what are you researching? Is it a battle? I have books I can tell you about. And I was like, you got to slow your roll. I'm researching a medium, but I have a question. And we talked through it. And like, similarly, he was like, yeah, it seems like they must have at least suspected. And from what I can figure out, yes, Germany did suspect that, like, they had at least hit and seriously damaged a major vessel in this convoy. Maybe they did not know it had actually exploded and sunk. So I just found the confidence with which everybody that has written about this that I found was like, and the Germans didn't know. I think they knew a little bit more than...
They had an inkling. Yeah.
some of this may have been just an attempt to justify not telling families for so long. And if there really were efforts to deceive them by sending fake holiday letters home, which I, like, I found a source that said that, but then trying to, like, confirm that, I ran into just brick walls. So I don't actually know if that for sure happened, which is why we qualified it so much in the episode. But, like, could definitely justify that a lot better if you were conclusively presenting it as absolute established fact that Germany had no idea this battleship had been sunk by one of its U-boats.
Yeah, it's so tricky because I feel like this comes up. I mean, we talk about it in the context of most of our episodes, particularly that deal with anything supernatural. Like, there are so many instances where people, consciously or not, have a bias that they support in historical reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And that ends up making very murky water.
Yeah.
There were two things about her story that reminded me very much of other mediums we have talked about. I mean, there are obvious, like, through lines, but the one that jumped out at me first was her childhood of being allegedly intuitive in some sort of psychic way. And it reminded me of Madame Blavatsky, who had, like, a whole backstory about how she saw spirits in her house and communicated with things. And I'm always like, I really wish this is a good use for the time machine, right?
Like, yeah.
Could we go back and see what, in fact, was, like, a pretty benign, boring, normal-ish childhood with none of this? Probably true for either of them.
Yeah. And, I mean, one of the things that it reminds me a little bit of the episode that we just had on Johann Georg Schrepfer, where we don't know for sure whether he really thought that he was getting some supernatural knowledge. I really don't know whether Helen Duncan really thought that she could talk to spirits, and that, you know, it's clear that she was using puppets and knitted undervests and, like, whatever to make these manifestations. But, like, I don't know if that's something that she was doing as part of something that was a scheme from the beginning, or if it was more like window dressing on a sincerely held belief about...
Right.
Right. I don't really know.
Right. That is something that's very much in common with the Schrepfer story. The other thing, and it relates to those props and people working to disprove her, that reminded me of another episode was the... I thought about our episode on Charles Colchester, who, to jog anyone's memories, was the alleged medium that was favored by Mary Todd Lincoln, and how at one point someone who was worried about the Lincolns and about Mrs. Lincoln being involved in this had, like, reached out and grabbed a hold of somebody's hand during a seance that he obviously should not have, and that causing an uproar. And I was like, there's always this moment.
Right.
There's always this moment where just one person goes, no, you're not. And, like, manages to physically touch something that is obvious proof. And as we talked about, that doesn't matter to people who really want to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. So, yeah, I enjoyed reading a lot of old laws, the text of them. I found the idea of being declared rogue and vagabond kind of delightful. And yeah, just in general. I did not, however, read all of the hundreds and hundreds of pages of trial transcript because I thought those were going to be fun. They were not. They were not fun. Because sometimes reading that kind of stuff can be a little kooky and fun. And this was just person after person talking about stuff that was, it wound up being incredibly dry, more dry than you would maybe think about people being questioned about spirit manifestations that a medium had done. So I read all the introductory material of the trial transcripts and then kind of skimmed the transcripts themselves. They are very long.
You didn't want to hear somebody fervently recounting how they talked to their aunt.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of our episodes this week was on Edward May and his medical treatise that he wrote about when he thought he found a serpent or monster inside someone's heart during an autopsy way back in the 17th century.
I'm just going to start blaming my heart monster for every time I'm less than an ideal person.
That seems fine.
My heart monster is acting up again.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was a tricky one to get resources for. It was something that had been on my list for about a year because I had stumbled across the treatise itself and thought, wow, what a weird kind of creepy story. I don't know if there's a whole episode there, but I'll like put it on the October list as something sort of October-y in subject matter. Finding any resources beyond the text itself was a little bit of a challenge. And so some of the information that's in here is like footnotes from other sources that are not about this at all, but that like mention May in some way or mention this heart idea in some way or make reference to the Museum Minerva. Most of the information that I found about that was in footnotes about people who were involved with it in some way. And there were only a couple of papers that had been written about it in more modern years. And one of them I had access to and the other one I did not. So I did what I do sometimes. And I sent a little note to my spouse, who's a librarian, just to say, hey, is this a paper that you have access to? We have a clean show, so I can't replicate exactly what he said. But I heard the exclamations start upstairs in the room where he works. And then he came down the steps and was like, is this Halloween? What kind of horrifying situation is this? But like with a lot of profanities inserted around the words that I said. He doesn't necessarily like read whatever I ask him if he has access to, but in this particular one he did. And he was like, I wish I had not looked at this picture of the heart with a snake in it. And I was like, I did not expect you to find it as troubling as you clearly have.
I love it.
Yeah.
I want a Museum Minerva t-shirt.
Yeah?
Yeah, like as though it's the school we attended.
That seems great. Yeah. Yeah. As a total random coincidence, I made a trip to Philadelphia back before COVID ever happened, which is how long ago this was. And I went to the Mütter Museum, and by total coincidence, they happened to have an exhibition going at that time called Imperfecta, which was about this whole idea of, quote, monsters in the medieval and early modern period, and how people were thinking about embryology and teratology that we would think of as fields today, and like all of the religious and supernatural and superstitious layers of meaning that people put on these kinds of like disabilities and congenital issues and all of this kind of stuff. And I, at the time, was like, I wonder if there is some kind of episode in this. And I did not find an episode in it at that time. But now, years later, it has circled back around through this episode on Edward May's medical treatise and whether somebody had a serpent in his heart.
I love it. I like that the drawing, which apparently horrified poor Patrick, is one of the closest illustrations of a heart where you actually kind of see the connection to how the quick and simple way that we would normally draw a heart, like on a Valentine. It looks the closest to that of most I have seen.
Yeah. Yeah. The heart as it's drawn with the snake in it doesn't really have a suggestion that there are also atria in the heart.
Right.
It looks like the heart is just made up of ventricles and a snake.
Yes. It's a, you know, it's a cutie pie.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with Patrick. I really like the idea that garlic killed the snake and thus is good for your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of suggestions that eating garlic is good for your body in a variety of ways, but I like that it may have started with the concept of, like, it'll kill your heartworms.
Yeah. My first encounter with the doctrine of signatures, which we talked about in this episode, was, I think, I'm pretty sure, during massage school, because we had a one-day lesson in, like, herbal medicine, and it kept coming up, and I kept thinking, okay, I see what you're saying. I don't know if this necessarily holds up.
Right. Yeah.
Because, like, the most to me visually evocative answer is the one that, or example, is the thing that we said in the show about, like, a walnut looks like a brain. I think it's ginseng root that looks kind of like a man or a person when you pull it out of the, which sort of feeds into the idea that, like, ginseng root is good for the whole body. So anyway, I was another thing that I was, like, not expecting that to come up in this particular treatise, but there it is, combined with optics. So, yeah.
Eat garlic is the lesson.
I eat garlic. I'm in favor of that.
Me too.
I have some friends who cannot eat garlic anymore because of some, like, dietary issues and restrictions. The garlic is not good for their bodies, and
that is very sad.
I do not know anyone who has had to cut garlic out of their diets and is happy about it.
No. Well, I mean, I know there are people out there who don't like garlic.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I don't know what to do with that. I mean, I'm like that person that, you know, triples the recipe at every opportunity. So I don't know what to tell those people, but it will prevent your heartworm.
Yeah, I went down a little rabbit hole of trying to figure out exactly when people figured out what about heartworm, and a very longer rabbit hole to try to figure out, like, okay, is there heartworm in the UK? And at first I found very, like, some contradictory stuff about that, because there were people who were conclusively like, there is no heartworm in the UK, and animals in the UK that develop heartworm contracted it somewhere else,
right,
and then came to the UK for whatever reason. But, like, there have been, in the last few decades, reports of actual heartworm transmission in the UK, and that does seem to be tied to the climate, like whether the parasites can survive long enough in the mosquitoes to infect anything.
Right. You know, that's one of those things that when we started having pets, we suddenly had to think about a lot, although our cats never, ever go out.
Right.
So we don't tend to do heartworm preventative with them, because, like, my understanding is that it doesn't transmit to cats very often to begin with, and normally, like, a mosquito would have had to have bitten an infected dog and then a cat. Our cats aren't around dogs, and they don't ever go out, so
yeah.
They just live their spoiled lives on our laps.
That is what our cats do also.
It's the best.
And yeah, I remember, I guess it was when I was living in North Carolina, and I got cats of my own that I was responsible for caring for the first time. And I did start out doing heartworm prevention with them, but then got into the same thing of, like, what is the risk of heartworm versus the risk of this medication? Is it actually necessary for the cats?
Yeah.
And now, living in Massachusetts, like, the prevalence of heartworm here is in general less because of climate differences, but again, that's also shifting because of climate becoming warmer.
Yeah, I remember having a long discussion about it with my veterinarian, and her initial reaction, and this is some years ago, was like, well, you know, in case an animal gets out. But then as we progressed through having cats, and she realized that I'm essentially the equivalent of a helicopter mom to my cat. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, that's not going to happen. You don't really need to be doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Kitties and puppies, but not humans.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would all be on heartworm prevention.
Yeah. And I will say I'm not offering advice about what to do with your own pets about heartworm prevention. Discuss that with your vet, because I am not one. nor am I a heart surgeon.
What? I thought you were doing that as like a correspondence school course.
So anyway, I'm glad I got to spend a little time reading a weird old medical treatise for this show, because I do enjoy doing that and reading the things that are very confidently wrong in this case. Many confidently wrong things. So again, it's Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. We hope whatever's happening on your weekend is great. If you are not off this weekend, if it's not your weekends, I hope your work or whatever else is going on in your life, it's going okay. We will be back with a classic episode tomorrow and then something brand new on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.